Good morning, everyone. We had a downpour right here at the time church services was to start, and I'm sure that's had an effect on some who would probably have got out this morning. But we have a good number here, and so glad that you're here this day as we all come together to worship God. Today is an emotional day for lots of people in the congregation, or this week, I should say. We have a whole group of wonderful young people who are graduating from high school. Besides the eight that was mentioned, we have parents and grandparents of graduating seniors in this surrounding area, too. I'm sure not a lot will be different when next Sunday gets here, but it will be a really emotional time, I think, probably getting to next Sunday. Louise tells the story, or likes to, of Emily some time back, of how Emily, of course, is 21 and now has traveled all over Europe. Emily said something about a group of young people were going to be doing something, nothing bad, some activity, hiking or something. Louise asked if any adults were going to be there. Emily said, "Nana, we are all adults." So parents, you may get reminded of that every once in a while in the coming weeks. And to top everything off in terms of emotions, of course, today is Mother's Day, a day that our nation set aside many years ago to dedicate as a day of appreciation to our mothers. In our puppet script Wednesday evening for our children, there was one line that said something like, "We get 364 days of being taken care of, and Mom gets one day." Well, I've mentioned this before, but when I was in Vietnam, my dad and mother wrote me a letter every day. I didn't always get those letters every day. Sometimes I would get one letter, and then maybe 10 days later I would get 9 or 10 letters, and I would try to put them in order to read them consecutively. But I can imagine my dad and mother sitting around our little kitchen table, writing each night, Dad with a pencil, Mom with a pen. The appreciation for that grows stronger with each passing year. Now, I read a letter from a mother who had sent her son off to college. It was quite an accomplishment to get the son to school, and the woman and her husband had lived in the backwoods for many years with no education at all. They lived very primitive, but she loved her son, though, and so she sent him off to college, and this is what she wrote to him. "Dear son, just a few lines to let you know that I'm still alive. I'm writing this letter slowly because I know you cannot read very fast. You won't know the house when you come home. We've moved. About your father, he has a lovely job. He has 500 men under him. He is cutting grass at the cemetery. I discovered what I thought was a washing machine in our new house when we moved in, but it doesn't work too good. Last week, I stuffed 14 shirts into it, pushed a lever down, and I haven't seen those shirts since. Your sister Mary had a baby this morning. I haven't found out whether it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know whether you are an uncle or an aunt. Your uncle Dick drowned last week in a vat of whiskey at the local brewery. Some of his workmates dived in to save him, but he fought them off bravely. We cremated his body, and it took 3 days to put out the fire. It rained, now this sounds like us. It rained only twice last week, first for 3 days and then for 4 days. Monday it was so windy that one of the chickens laid the same egg 4 times. We had a letter from the undertaker. He said if the last installment isn't paid on your grandmother within 7 days, up she comes. Your loving mother. P.S. I was going to send you $50, but I had already sealed the envelope. My mother's letters were a little better than that, but the intention of the letter was certainly good. This morning our text is from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31, and those verses speak to us about a woman who is honorable, who is given honor. One translation, an older translation, of course, calls her the worthy woman. In the Hebrew language, the passage forms an acrostic with the first sentence of each beginning with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet, from the first to the last. It would be like us writing a letter with each sentence beginning with a letter of our alphabet, and so the writer is saying to us that this is a woman worthy from A to Z. She's worthy from A to Z. And so let's look at some of those characteristics this morning that make her such a worthy woman. She is a picture to us as a woman of character and of strength and of dignity. Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, "A wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." Proverbs 31 verse 25, "She is clothed with strength and with dignity." Proverbs 18 verse 22, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." Now notice the verse doesn't say who can buy a wife of noble character, for a wife of noble character is not for sale. You've got to find, he says, look for and search for. I believe this is the kind of woman who puts her family ahead of her career, who puts her responsibilities ahead of her rights. This is the kind of woman who wants to do right in every situation. One writer put it this way in giving advice for one seeking a wife: more than looks and more than money, more than personality, you had better look for character in that woman, virtue, purity, fidelity, and above all, a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, mothers are under enough pressure already, so I'm not going to try to put more on you this morning, but I think you already know the influence that you have on young lives, and it's been documented by many, many writers. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Men are what their mothers made them." W.R. Ross said, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Abraham Lincoln once said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Henry Ward Beecher said, "The mother's heart is the child's schoolroom." A little over 100 years ago, Teddy Roosevelt wrote, and he said, "When all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist." Of course, one of the great New Testament characters is Timothy. Timothy was a young associate of the Apostle Paul on many of his missionary journeys and had probably been converted by Paul on one of Paul's first journeys, but the conversion process had started much earlier. Timothy's father was a Greek, his mother and family were Jewish, but Paul wrote to him and said this in 2 Timothy 3. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, he says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." The teaching, the foundation for what would come later in Timothy's life, it began, the scripture says, when he was still an infant. Mothers, never underestimate the spiritual impact that your life has on your children. And sometimes you have to go it alone, but you keep on keeping on. It doesn't seem that Timothy ever doubted, but he just transitioned from those roots of a baby being taught on up to being a faithful child of God. We have mothers here who, after bringing their newborn home from the hospital, the first time that they go out again is to bring the baby to church services. And then through the years, reading Bible stories, taking the child to all the Bible classes and all of the other events of the church, and all of those things are done for the spiritual growth of that child. Sometimes when the child gets grown, the child trying to find his or her own wings sometimes questions not only his or her faith, but sometimes the mother's as well. I read a little story the other day that came from the Broadway play and movie called A Raisin in the Sun. The movie starred Sidney Poitier. Maybe young people here won't know who that is, but I think most of you do. And in one of those scenes, a mother was confronted by the daughter's growing disbelief. And the daughter cynically declared that there was nothing to the idea of the living God, that God did not exist, and that people could get along very well without God. Following that outburst, the mother other in quiet beauty and spiritual integrity, she drew herself up and she said in a deep, serious voice, "Now you say after me, in my mother's house, there is still a God." There was a pause, and then the girl, with a sudden realization of what her mother's faith had meant to them as a family down through the years, she said slowly, "In my mother's house, there is still a God." Proverbs 31, verse 30, "But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." The worthy woman was a woman of character and of strength and of dignity. A second characteristic of this woman that's pictured to us in Proverbs 31 is one of sacrifice for her family. Now, I know we read in the newspaper and we hear about an abusive mother, and that makes the news. And the reason that that makes the news is that it is the exception rather than the rule. Most mothers, and many of them single parents, are working hard to make a living for their family. And many of them are doing so because they have that desire, that great desire, that in spite of all of the disadvantages, they're going to do everything that they can to provide and help their family. The other day, Louise and I were in a store, and there were a couple in the store. They had three little ones riding in the shopping cart, twins that looked about 10 to 12 months old, and a toddler that was probably about 3 years old. Now, since they aren't here, I can talk about them, you see. They looked pretty stressed out at that time, and they were in a line ahead of us, and I told the young man that he reminded me of a story that I had heard, and he said, "I hope it's not bad." And I told him, "No, it's not bad." I said, "This man was in a grocery store, a supermarket, and he had three little ones with him. And another man came up and said, 'I wish I had three children.' And he said, 'Oh, do you not have any children?' He said, 'Yes, I have six children." Well, I know this young couple was working very hard to sacrifice for their family, a lot of hard work and sacrifice. There are many young women who have only a few weeks off from their jobs after giving birth to a child, then they go back to work again. That's the reality of our marketplace. That's just the way it is. But in some ways, that's the way it's always been. Look again at that worthy woman, Proverbs 31. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it, and out of her earnings she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. A little later he writes, "She made linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come." And then verse 27, "She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." I always like that where it says, "Her lamp does not go out at night." There is an old saying that goes like this: "A man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done." Someone has said the quickest way for a mother to get her children's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. A little boy and his daddy was looking at the wedding album, and the little boy saw his mother in a wedding dress and said to his daddy, "Daddy, is that when mother came to work for us?" Well, in a Dennis the Menace cartoon, Dennis was talking to Margaret one day and said, "I wonder what my mom would like for Mother's Day." And Margaret answered, "Why don't you promise to go to bed when she tells you to keep your room cleaned up, to eat all your vegetables at dinner, even brush your teeth after eating and wash your hands before?" Dennis looked at her and said, "I mean something practical." You know, like the worthy woman works hard. The worthy woman of Proverbs 31 was always other person-centered. When you read that passage of Scripture, the thing that stands out, I think, about it all is the self-sacrifice of this worthy woman. Her care is always on others, and there's obviously the care for the husband and for the children. Verse 23 says that her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land, But the implication there is that a part of that respect that comes to him comes because of his wife. The care of the worthy woman extends beyond husband and children, though. Look at verse 15. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. And we say, wow, she had servants, but who's taking care of who here? The worthy woman gets up to take care of them. And then verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy. This woman sees beyond her needs and she looks to the needs of others. It's interesting that when you read in the New Testament about the work of the early church, you immediately begin to read about women. The Apostle Paul, in a number of his letters, was very quick to point out the number of women who helped him and supported him in his labor. No doubt many of these were mothers and had all of the parental responsibilities, but they also knew their spiritual responsibilities as well. And still today, the church is dependent on women who are wives, mothers, working all the time, and still find the desire and find the energy to serve God through the church. And I praise God for all of you. I've sat with many families after the death of a mother and a grandmother, and I've heard untold times these kinds of things. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. On so many occasions, as I said, I've heard so many wonderful words of praise, and I've hoped that those feelings were expressed before that time, while the person was still alive. What I hear most from families is the selflessness that characterizes motherhood. A three-year-old climbed into her mother's lap and said, "Mommy, I love you." And as she felt her mother's face and touched her mother's nose, she said, "I love your nose, Mommy." And she said the same thing about her mother's ear, about her mother's chin, her cheek, her hair. And finally she said, "Mommy, show me your heart." And the woman hesitated a moment and then said, "Honey, look into my eyes and see what you can see. Look way down deep." And the little girl got real close and looked intently into her mother's eyes. And then she said, "Mommy, I can see way down, and the only thing I can see is myself." That's the kind of selfless concern that is ultimately rewarded. Her children arise and they call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. There is a way that a mother's legacy can live on. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who fears the Lord. Even if a woman is not a Christian, in some ways a woman can be a good mother. She can be a good homemaker. She can be a good provider. She can be loving and kind, and she can be supportive in so many ways. But if a woman does not fear the Lord, does not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then that mother is not all that God has called her to be. Someone has said the father may be the head of the home, children may be the hub of the home, but mothers are the heart of the home, and the heart of the home must have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest legacy you can leave a child is that of being a Christian. The greatest honor that you can give to your mother and father as a young person is to live life as a Christian. The Apostle Paul wrote this in his letter to the church at Thessalonica. He said, "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." And then notice verse 17. "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." Caught up together with them, it says, and then we will be with them and with the Lord forever. If you're not a child of God this morning, come to